Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Football Ramble World Cup specials in association with history. We have five of these World Cup specials, of course. We started back in episode one at the 1990 World Cup when Cameroon beat world champions Argentina. And we'll finish, of course, with a look at the time David Beckham was sent off at the World Cup in France. These five World Cup specials are brought to you by History, who, in celebration of the World Cup, are broadcasting 24/7 football documentaries for 2 weeks, starting on Monday, 28th of May. You can watch History on Sky, Virgin, BT, or TalkTalk. Gentlemen, this time.
Can I just say, this music is making all of us aspire to be the best version of ourselves we can be.
Really? And you just interrupted me when I was about to give away what we were talking about.
Oh, sorry.
Well, maybe he feels the best version of him is better than you.
Which, yeah, Jim.
You know, reasonable, isn't it?
And I do think.
Okay,
that.
Then. Well, what are we talking about this time, Luke?
We're talking about Portsmouth.
Robert Prosinecki.
We're talking about Zinedine Zidane's headbutt in the 2006 final. A staggeringly surprising event.
My giddy aunt. She has to be mentioned.
She does. What does she think of it?
She thought it was a disgrace.
Is that what made her so giddy in the first place?
Quite possibly.
The shock from this moment.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember her being giddy before the 2006 World Cup final.
Just Marcus's aunt. Marcus's beloved aunt.
Zinedine Zidane, Jim. Mm. Like Ronaldo, that we talk about, of course, in these World Cup specials, is regarded as one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
End of that discussion.
Absolutely.
Not end of the podcast, of course. We've got more to chat about.
Right.
But this is a man who, I suppose, in this day and age, people can be very sort of stat heavy, and that's fine. You know, stats are important, and they can reveal a certain part of the picture and so on. But
how many expected Zidanes were there?
I don't think we expected the Zidane to be this good.
Expected headbutts weren't measured before.
No,
this,
they weren't.
Were
they weren't.
Well, okay, we'll come on to that in a minute. But this is a man who doesn't boast ridiculously impressive stats like Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo. If you know what I mean, but his place at football's top table will never be in question.
Yeah, absolutely. I think every generation has a player that's kind of renowned for being very, very cultured and aesthetically pleasing. And Zidane was very much ours, wasn't he? He was the artist of that generation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, can I also say, it depends what stats you really want to talk about, because some of the stats I'm interested in are perhaps the fact that he's won several Champions Leagues as a manager and a player.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something you couldn't say about Ronaldo or Messi. Admittedly, they've not gone into the managerial arena yet, but it bears repeating that he has won the Champions League, however many times, as a manager and as a player. Well, and that is absolutely...
And drew a fantastic save out of Shea Given once.
That's a feather in his cap.
Yeah.
And he's won a World Cup and a European Championship.
He makes other players look better.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely true. If I was to say...
No one's got a stat cabinet at home.
No.
But they have got a trophy cabinet.
And his is massive.
Yeah.
If I said to you, which man's head has had the biggest impact in World Cup finals history, then you would have to say...
Well, he's got two goals with his head in 98.
There we are. I think that's the point I'm making here, you know. But he was 33 going into that tournament, playing for Real Madrid, having lit up a previous World Cup, of course, in 1998, as we just said. And that 98 World Cup final, when he scored two goals for France against Brazil, that was when he became undeniably a household name throughout the world. I mean, of course, at that particular time in the late 90s, he was playing for Juventus. We'd seen him in the Champions League. I mean, football fans were well aware of Zidane, of course, let's not be silly. But the household name of you score two goals in a World Cup final, you're there. You're in the history books.
And as we heard in the last episode of this series, we expected Ronaldo to be the story of that World Cup final, and actually ended up being Zinedine Zidane because of his two goals and, of course, winning a World Cup for France on home soil. That'll do that. Your star will rise
indeed
after that.
And after that, he became the complete player. Mesmerising, I think, would be a word that you could use to describe.
He had a glide, didn't he?
He certainly did. Now, just staying on World Cup 98 for a brief moment, there was a moment when France were playing Saudi Arabia in the first round of that World Cup. And the French had won their first match 3-0. They were 3-0 up against Saudi Arabia, cruising through to the second round of the tournament. Zinedine Zidane was tackled by an opposition player. Didn't seem that much in it. And Zidane reacted by stamping on his opponent and was given a straight red card. Mm-hmm. And it seemed such a strange thing to do, really, and very, very unnecessary. Now, he returned to the side, of course, in the quarterfinal.
They were 2-0 up and cruising, weren't they, as well?
3-0 up and cruising against Saudi Arabia, I think it was. But they were certainly cruising into the second round of the tournament. There's no doubt about that, which, of course, they did. They had to do it without him. And then against Paraguay, they played without Zidane on the side. He returned against Italy and was there in the semi-final and in the final. And because of that and the scoring the two headers, they were champions for the first time, France, despite Zidane missing two matches through suspension. That's what we remembered him for. But it was a strange moment against Saudi Arabia. But what on earth did he do that for?
It's really indicative because of the main event we're going to talk about, obviously, but because we talk a lot about certain players, not all players, but certain players at the very top, they play on the edge. And what we mean by that is they are aggressive, they snap into tackles, they feel like the best version of themselves on the football pitch is this ultra-aggressive, win-at-all-cost type mentality. I've heard ex-pros say about certain players, which I won't name, so it won't be fair to say that when they go on the pitch, they cross over the white lines of the pitch, they are personality-wise completely different to what they are in everyday life. And given what happened there and given what happened to Zidane Colton at the end of his career, you can make a reasonable suggestion that he is one of those players.
Mm. And I think it was so surprising, that red card and one or two others we're going to talk about before the main one, of course, is when Zidane played football, he had the same expression. He might smile when he scored, but he had the same expression. He went about it at a similar pace throughout. There was an intensity to his game, of course, but you wouldn't really see him gritting his teeth and showing much emotion. So he always looked very calculated. Mm. So when he did that, when that particular sending off, people just, what? But that was just a little example of what he was capable of.
A teaser trailer, if you will.
Absolutely, yeah. Luke Mott.
Coming summer 2006.
Yeah. Even when he scored two goals against England, didn't he, in 2004? 2004. When he did that sick before he took the penalty. Yeah. That was like a robot just getting rid of some fluid it didn't need.
Yeah. Lionel Messi does that. Lionel Messi's done that a few times. I think he ended up having to change his diet. Because he said that he had to speak to a nutritionist, get his diet sorted out, because it kept happening to him. Mm.
Interesting.
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I think David Beckham maybe did that at some point as well.
A lot of long-distance runners do a lot of vomiting.
Yeah, I think actually, we're probably belying the fact that we are all obviously not professional athletes. I don't know if you remember, Marcus, or anyone really who's played football at an amateur level. Sometimes if I played for an all right team and we had a pre-season, pre-season, I've been sick at pre-season before.
Yeah, it's awful.
Because you push yourself so hard.
Absolutely awful.
So they're probably imagine if you're prepared for a big game and the temperature's really, really high and you've working really hard and maybe you've got a little bit less of the ball than you thought you were going to have, so you have to work a lot harder and you're in midfield. I don't think it's that surprising that in 70, 75 minutes you're basically vomiting because you've worked so hard.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the
reason I
that's
say
how
that
much I hate hard work. Yeah, like yeah. The first minute I'd do that.
But the reason I bring it up, Pete, is because I think some people maybe put that down to nerves with Zidane.
Oh, right, okay.
At the time. No, I don't think that's the case.
Well, and we'll back that up, because by Euro 2000, France were well in their groove, of course, and Zidane, considered by many the world's best player. Now, he'd won the Ballon d'Or in 98. He won FIFA Player of the Year in 98, 2000, and would win it for the a third time in 2003. At Euro 2000, he was class.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolute class. Of course, France won the competition. But his touch, dribbling, dominating presence, it was a sight to behold. Mm. The way he would just glide with the ball.
Yeah, it was like watching almost a different creature. Do you know what I mean?
He
just didn't have the same style of motion, really, as other footballers.
Yeah, it was a complete...
So graceful.
It's a complete joy to watch. He scored a great free kick against Spain in the quarterfinal and a golden goal from the penalty spot against Portugal. I think we talked about that on a recent round, didn't we, Pete, when Xavier handled and bedlam ensued, but Zidane just stood, waited and waited. A bit like Cristiano Ronaldo against Juventus, actually, in the Champions League, waited and then top-cornered the penalty. Yeah. But he was so reliable. Euro 2004, you've mentioned, Pete, gets a free kick on the edge of the box. France, 1-0 down to England. When he gets that free kick on the edge of the box and Zidane steps up to take it, I remember being in the pub and everyone just going, ugh.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then, of course, he whips it in and then England self-destructs. Zidane gets a penalty and again, no one thought, could David James get a hand on
no
this?
No way.
And again, just strokes it in. No pressure. Just played the game with the same temperament throughout.
We all agreed that for that sort of period of time, around the turn of the century or whatever, Zidane was the best player in the world.
Oh, easily.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I
would go along with that.
And he announced his international retirement after Euro 2004. Fortunately changed his mind.
Yeah. and that's relevant for 2006 as well, because 3 weeks before the end of the domestic season in 2005-06, he announced his retirement from all football as soon as the World Cup's finished. And I think that's indicative of the way he reacted in the final, which we'll come on to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a real key indicator in why he behaved in the way he did, which was perhaps, despite what we've said earlier, I mean, there's reacting and then there's that.
But that was part of his game. In the year 2000, sorry, Jim, he was sent off in back-to-back Champions League finals. He was sent off in back-to-back Champions League games for Juventus. Mm.
Mm. What I was going to say was that France, it's worth remembering, they'd actually struggled to qualify for 2006. And Zidane coming out of retirement, international retirement, was a big factor in them actually getting over the line. And they won their group in the end.
Yeah.
A few others came out as well.
Thuram
and I think Makélélé as
well. Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
They weren't really backed. They weren't really expected to do much at 2006. But Zidane's presence was that good, even in the final stage of his career, that he could affect things so profoundly.
It's always really satisfying when a player goes out at the very top. Mm-hmm. At the very top. I mean, he's essentially already announced his retirement.
Yeah.
Yet he has, it to my mind, delivered in the semi against Brazil.
The quarter
against Brazil. The one of the standout individual performances ever.
And we'll come on to that. But you can't get away. Zidane had sendings off throughout his career. And I think people just didn't really notice it that much because those
kind of players don't get sent off a lot.
It's usually
a plodding centre back.
Yeah.
Not an incredibly skillful, smooth midfielder.
But what was he sent off for? It was always violent conduct.
Well, he actually said, if you look at the 14 red cards I had in my career.
14?
Yeah.
I believe that's one more than Vinnie Jones. I know he played in a different era, but still.
Yeah, it's more than Roy Keane, I think. It's not as many as Sergio Ramos. If you look at the 14 red cards I had in my career, 12 of them were a result of provocation. This isn't justification, this isn't an excuse, but my passion, temper and blood made me react. And that tells a story, doesn't it?
And
that explains it all.
Well, absolutely. And that's the thing with Zidane, because he didn't play with obvious, overt, raw emotion. It seemed like he calculated every one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a head... When he played for Juventus against Hamburg at home, head-butted an opposition player.
Again,
I mean,
a trailer.
Yeah.
That's like a trailer that's got another minute on it.
Yeah.
And if you're getting 14 red cards throughout your career, I mean, there will have been ones that are missed.
Well,
so people will have stories.
But I think...
Dig me in the ribs.
But I think for us, as in this country, we would mainly see him playing in the Champions League.
Mm.
Now, obviously, those red cards I just talked about were in the Champions League, but maybe in group stages. And again, you sort of hear Zidane's got sent off, but then you see him playing, and it just, again, those types of players, Pete, as you say, tend not to get the red cards. But as time went on, people began to realise Zidane had a nasty streak, and it was a nasty streak. It wasn't a slightly clumsy centre-half or a defensive midfielder who you're going to pick up bookings and get the odd red card. As you say, 12 of these 14 red cards were for reactionary things. And even in that 2006 film, Zidane, A 21st Century Portrait, which was released. It was a documentary film, sort of, or a style of a documentary film.
Let's talk Mogwai.
Yes. By Mogwai,
that's right. Real Madrid's home match with Villarreal in April 2005.
It was such an underwhelming match as well, because everyone knew the cameras were going to be there.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, just hire the cameras again. I mean, I know you're essentially doubling your budget, but like, give yourself 3 or 4 matches to get 90 minutes of
I think it's really poignant, because he ends up, of course, a spoilers alert ahead, close your ears if you don't want to know this, he ends up getting sent off in the game.
Yeah.
Which
right
I
at
think
the end.
Is quite fitting.
Well, I think that's it. That film, little did they know perhaps at the time, or maybe they did, encapsulated his whole career.
And so we go into the tournament itself, 2006, and I mean, before we do that, do you think he had a reputation then going into that tournament then? Or are you saying this has all happened, this idea of him as a player and as an individual, in retrospect, because of what happened at the end of his career?
No, I think people were aware, especially in Italy. They were definitely aware.
Right, okay.
In Spain as well. They saw him. You know, that film shows you Zidane. He gets caught up in a brawl. I don't think he was even originally involved in it.
Mm.
he has that nasty streak. And I think when he got sent off in the World Cup final, a lot of people in this country, I don't know about others, but certainly in this country, you then talk about the 14 red cards and so on. You look back and you go, you know, this does make sense.
Well, I mean, he missed the game against Togo in that World Cup in the group stages because he was suspended. So, you know.
Yeah.
He had it in him.
He certainly did. And we're going to talk about the World Cup 2006 after this.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Football Ramble World Cup specials in association with History. We're looking back at Zinedine Zidane sending off in the final of the 2006 World Cup in Germany. Indeed, gentlemen, indeed. Of course, when France, in the first round of the 2006 World Cup, they were a bit poor. They sort of coughed and spluttered their way through the group, but they got through.
Yeah, and the gym said Zidane was booked in first two games against Switzerland and South Korea, was it?
Yes, that's right.
Sorry, missed the Togo game, which actually, funny enough, I mean, they beat Togo 2-0 and went through. But had they not gone through, that would have been the end of Zidane's career. His final game would have been a 1-1 draw against South Korea in the group stage of the World Cup.
It's funny because that hung over France, didn't it? That was as much as the narrative of anything, that every game could be Zidane's last.
Yeah.
Well, Philippe Auclair writes about France's story of the 2006 World Cup, and he says that after the group stage, the senior players in the squad were so unhappy with how it was going and how they were playing that they essentially just took control of the squad over Raymond Domenech's head and just started doing what they wanted to do themselves.
Which is always a good idea, to take control away from Raymond Domenech.
But you can imagine Zinedine Zidane would be at the forefront of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's lonely at the top, though, Luke.
It is.
We remember Raymond Domenech's book.
He stuck around for another 4 years or so. So he was manager of France for 6 years, I think.
Yeah. He managed the World Cup final. Managed, so to speak. But he's an interesting character. But you're right, Luke. That did happen, and it showed, because they played Spain in the next round. Still a good Spanish side. Not the Spanish side, of course, but a good Spanish side. France beat them 3-1. Zidane opened his account for the tournament, and they were off. And it was a different France side from the knockouts.
He put the cherry on top in that game.
Completely. Mm. It, you know, a bit like we talked about Italy in 94. Different side from the knockouts to the first round. Yeah.
They and Zidane grew into the tournament.
Very much so. And then in the quarterfinals, that's when Zidane really kind of, if he needed to reclaim it, reclaimed himself as the best player in the world. The way he played against Brazil that day, and this was a Brazil side, okay, Ronaldo was on his way out, but he was still a good player. Ronaldinho, Cafu, Kaká, among others. It was a good Brazil side, not the best one we've seen. But Zinedine Zidane performance in that game, I mean, that's when they should have had the cameras on him, you know, with the documentary. It's glorious. It's absolutely glorious. And the Brazilian media said afterwards, you know, this man almost sort of showed the Brazil side the sort of Samba way. I know you're a big fan of this performance, Luke. The touches and the skill and
he's got
the
McAlealy,
ease in which he goes about it.
He's got McAlealy and Vieira behind him, which will do you a favour. I'll start with that.
Yes.
But he absolutely runs the show. If you're looking at standout individual performances in big games, I mean, this Brazil team had Kaká was in there, Ronaldinho was in there. It's not a game that's short of playmaking footballers.
And those players were in their pomp at the time as well.
Yeah.
Worth noting.
Yeah, Zidane just completely run the show. Every touch, every trick, every pass. It was one of those games, I'm sure he'd say himself, it was one of those games where everything just worked, everything came off. They only won it 1-0, Henri scored, but he was by far and away the best player in that game, and it's not even close. I mean, if you look at I know YouTube compilations and stuff can be deceiving, and you know, you can make any player look good, but it is well worth, just if you've got a spare 5 or 10 minutes, just to look at it online, because it's fascinating to watch. And even you'll tell it's legit, because obviously we know it's legit because it's Zidane, but the commentators, listen to the commentators, it's the original commentary online as well, and you can hear them just going, he's having a lovely old time here. He's just it's a walk in the park.
He's
for him.
Doing whatever he wants at the pace and intensity as how he wants to do it.
His sort of body would float at the same kind of height, but his legs would be very busy. Have you ever seen him play that, it's not really futsal, I think it's just like a five-side pickup match, and he just turns up.
I have seen that, yeah.
And he just dreamily floats past people. Yeah. It's not even, you know, when you see these kind of like...
It's not quite the same standard as a World Cup quarterfinal.
No. But watching the way a man like that can just astound people. But it's like, I want you to take me on because I want to see what you can do.
The reason I think it's... one of the other reasons it's so impressive, this game, is because it's not like he's a really quick, tricky winger. So all they're doing is getting the ball out to him and he's just hitting the byline or he's taking players on and it looks great. Everything he's doing, which makes him so good, is a part of the fact that he's strong and he's got good vision and good technique, but it's all in his mind. The reality of the quality of that performance is just because he is a step or two ahead in the brain of every other player on the pitch, and it just so happens every other player on the pitch, there's a good handful of world greats on that pitch at the same time, which makes it incredible. It wouldn't be incredible if he was doing it for France in a qualifier against Malta, because you'd expect it.
Yeah.
And he'd run the show and he'd probably come off after an hour and that'd be that.
Defenders' legs are much easier to anticipate in those kind of matches. Mm.
Because they're not as good as the same quality.
Not as good or quick.
Absolutely.
He set up Thierry Henry's winner, didn't he? I believe that was the only time those two combined for a goal for France, which when you look at the caps and goals those two players have, is amazing, really.
Well, that's why I said, at the start, and you're right to say that the stats can sometimes be a little bit misleading. But in the semi-final, the France beat Portugal 1-0. Zidane slotting away the penalty. You could back everything on him when he stepped up to take a penalty, do something like that. You could very much put your house on him. France played Italy in the final, of course. Huge footballing rivalry between these two that I think we're slightly unaware of in this country. It's massive footballing rivalry. A little stat for you here: the first final since 1978 that didn't feature Germany or Brazil.
Wow.
How about that? Of course, it would be Italy's first penalty shootout win at a World Cup, having lost their previous three. Good way to get the monkey off your back in a World Cup final. But of course, before that penalty shootout happened, 7 minutes into the final, Italy had a brilliant team as well, Pirlo and so on.
And so Zidane wins the golden ball in this tournament, but Pirlo wins the most man of the match awards.
Yeah.
So they had a lot of good players. Obviously, they won the damn thing, so it makes sense.
But going into the final, because of Zidane's performances, I think the neutral was probably supporting France, I think.
Almost supporting Zidane, though.
Yes.
It was that big, wasn't it? It's very interesting that a player that didn't end up winning the World Cup dominates it so much as with Baggio in 94, I suppose,
for different reasons.
Well.
Yeah. But yes, you're absolutely right. 7 minutes into the final, France get a penalty. Zidane dinks it down the middle.
Panenka in a World Cup final against Buffon.
But I've never seen him do that before. That's the thing. When Zidane took a penalty, he'd usually whip it to the goalkeeper's right, often top corner, but right in the corner. Never seen him take a penalty like that. Never seen him be sort of overtly flash. Mm. Waits for the World Cup final, as you say, against Gigi Buffon and scores. It doesn't even touch the back of the net. It kisses the bar and goes about a foot over the line. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous.
Yeah. How dare you, Zidane?
The confidence. And when he does it, he just sort of trots away. Yeah, well.
Yeah. That, it was a man really, really enjoying the spotlight, wasn't it? Really enjoying his headline moment.
Yes, absolutely right. Italy, of course, equalised fairly soon after, and it would be decided on penalties.
Who was it that equalised?
Big Matarazzi.
It was.
Matrix.
The two players that really dominated the headlines for two reasons in that final.
I was at a wedding for this match, and the only person who was allowed to watch the match, or the first half of the match, was my friend Al, who's about as Hartlepoolian as it gets. But because he's from Italy originally, he was allowed to watch it because he had an interest. Second half, though, I broke ranks. I'm going to watch it. I'm not having this.
And you were the best man as well. of course, the penalty shootout came one of the most talked about moments in the history of the World Cup. Zidane had nearly scored before that. He had a header, Buffon tipped it over the bar. And the way the game was going, well into extra time now, France were looking the more likely. And I personally was watching it going, go on, Zidane, just grab this by the scruff of the neck and win it. And about 12 minutes to go, we've seen it thousands of times. Him and Materazzi, the two scorers, getting a heated discussion. And Zidane
sticks a trot.
And Zidane thinks, I'm going to stick the head on him. It's strange headbutt going for the chest.
Well, but the technique is phenomenal.
If he puts that technique into someone's face, though, that's a broken nose, blood everywhere.
Yeah, true.
And Materazzi's quite a bit taller. But the exchange is quite interesting because initially Zidane appears to just walk off.
Yeah.
And then Materazzi goes back in again for another round, and he's later admitted, he said, oh, I prefer the hall that is your sister. Mm. Because there was talk about terrorist stuff.
That's and right,
the atmosphere being quite free around that time. But he admitted that he said, I prefer the hall that is your sister, which of course isn't very nice. But you have to... Do you know what? I was put in mind of the Jamie Carragher incident where he gets caught spitting in his car. And the thing that's so confusing about that and this incident, I think, is just that he must have heard that all the time. Mm. Like, I understand he's a tempestuous player. I understand he picked up a lot of red cards. I understand the majority of those were for being reactive to insults and taunting and stuff. But you think in that situation... You would have just gone, oh yeah, whatever. I wouldn't be surprised. We'll never know, but I wouldn't be surprised if Materazzi, that's his MO. He does that all the time with strikers and attacking players, and he probably has done it more than that in that game.
Seeing a man that's so celebrated going from 0 to 60 like that, and I'm a man who can get a little bit hot on the collar incredibly quickly, but and I'm not comparing myself to Zidane, maybe just only in that point, but just see a man kind of like just go from just trotting away,
But that's it, though.
Zidane did say, I tried not to listen to him, but he repeated it several times. Sometimes words are harder than blows. When he said it for the third time, I reacted. And I wonder whether the decision to announce his retirement and him knowing this was his final act in football somehow contributed to that decision, because the stakes, by definition,
I don't think any man who does that kind of thing really thinks through what's going to happen. Well, I mean, with that many red cards under his belt, I don't think.
Yeah, but the pressure and the expectation. So put yourself in this position, right? If you can,
I've taken my penalty. Yeah, no, I don't need to.
No, three weeks out from the tournament, he announces that the World Cup's going to be his final hurrah. He starts the tournament badly. He gets suspended. He thinks, there's a chance I'm going to go out with a whimper here. It doesn't happen. He then puts in one of the best performances of his career in the quarterfinal and scores the winner in the semi. All of a sudden, the stakes have never been higher. Mm. He's going to go out as a World Cup winner in his final game as a footballer. The pressure has never been higher. So he's probably on an absolute knife edge as the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
And he thinks, we could lose this on penalties. This could be more heartbreaking than I could ever really imagine. I'm just trying to put myself in this position and go, maybe that contributed to why he reacted so spectacularly.
I mean, also, in a moment like that, you've got this guy needling you. You've got this guy who's basically ruining it for you, who's winding you up and is drawing your focus away from what should be your moment.
I actually think you're overanalyzing it, because I just think he had that nasty streak.
And that was that.
I think that's it. I think that when someone pressed his buttons, he just forgot about everything else. Sod this, I'm taking this into my own hands. And it's the calculated coolness of it that makes it all the more shocking. It's not like Materazzi grabbed his shirt and they had a little bit of a tussle and he went, all right, bang, and stuck the head on him. He wasn't an emotional guy. As you say, he was just trotting off and he looks at it, he weighs it up, he forgets all the stuff around
him. And it's the red mist.
And he just goes... Yeah, I'm having this.
And I think Materazzi the credit. Like he's got exactly what he wanted from a tempestuous player. Yeah. He knew if he could push the buttons.
Might have won his team the World Cup.
But the big question...
His sister a whore. Yeah. That's how that World Cup was won, by calling his sister.
But the big question is, should he have been sent off?
Well, this is what I was going to say. The curious...
Yes.
If you watch carefully...
Conspiracy theories.
Well, it's not a conspiracy. I'll tell you exactly what happened.
All right, let's go for it then.
Everyone knows.
Yeah.
But if you watch it back initially, the great thing about it, or one of the interesting things about it, is no one saw it.
Nobody. Right.
No one sees it. No one reacts. No one does anything apart from Gianluigi Buffon, who goes absolutely mad.
Yep.
And he goes so mad that the referee thinks, what's happened here?
And Buffon goes over to the I don't know if it's the fourth official or the referee's assistant, and he starts looking at him, pointing at his eye, going, you saw that. Someone has seen what's happened. And then, of course, the video replay happened and all the commentators around the world are going, oh my goodness, that's shocking. Yeah, yeah. Everyone, I mean, how many millions or billions of people watch a World Cup final? Suddenly, everybody, apart from maybe the spectators in the stadium, the people who were in the stadium, yeah, exactly, have seen this incident.
So, and I also did a bit of research around how the decision was come to. Now, of course, in 2006, there's absolutely no protocol in place for video assistant referees or replays or anything. It doesn't exist. Officially, that is not non-existent in football. Willy Sagnol, who played right back in the final, said something very, very curious, where he said, it's Sylvain Wiltord's fault, because if Sylvain Wiltord hadn't kicked the ball out, There was no way, there's no framework for the referee to be able to make a decision.
Yeah.
He would have probably been banned in retrospect, which of course he was anyway, but there's no protocol.
If the referee hadn't seen what happened, he probably went, well, something's gone on, I'll give Zidane a yellow just because that's what
I think I think if the French players had been a little bit more cheeky and gone, well, it's just a coming together, you know, we don't know what happened. Nothing would have happened, but the referee then sees a video. It's essentially the first ever VAR decision.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and
Domenech said that.
The fine margins are so interesting, but the decision Wiltord makes to put the ball out means that Zidane, this moment exists in terms of how it was dealt with.
Absolutely. The focus comes towards it. Do you remember the moment watching it? Because it was,
I do.
I remember seeing it, but it was off the ball. So it was one of those moments where you go, what? Did Zidane just...
But when you saw
God,
the replay.
And then you saw the replay.
A long time.
But it dawns on you, doesn't it? He's got to go.
Yeah.
It dawns on you.
This
is how it ends for him.
Completely.
This is shocking.
Yeah.
I remember just being heartbroken.
But you were waiting. Gutted. You were waiting to think... Has anyone seen that? It's almost like you're at school and your mate's done something a bit naughty and you think, did the teacher say, is my mate going to get in trouble or something like that? And you're right. Domenech said that, Luke. Domenech said afterwards that none of the officials saw it, but Domenech reckons he saw the fourth official watch a video replay and got the message to the referee. So that's what...
Domenech is a lot of things.
He does say a lot of things, but it's a big claim. It's a big claim.
Zidane reacts to the red card by quite calmly.
Again, calmly.
Trying to explain to the referee... what had happened before just walking off. And then, of course, we get delivered the greatest football photo of all time of Zidane walking down the tunnel with the World Cup next to him.
Zidane 10 on the back.
Yeah.
And walking past that trophy. And you knew, even though France were looking slightly more than likely, you just knew that it was Italy's trophy, really. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
It would have been odd if France had still won the World Cup then.
Yeah. It would have been.
Well, Zidane actually... because I guess we're sort of coming to the end of this.
Would
now,
he have come out and lifted the trolley?
No, he wouldn't have been able to.
He wouldn't have been allowed to, but I think he would.
But he did say that...
he'd have gone for a drink with Roy Keane after, certainly.
He later said that the sending off... This is a quote from him. The sending off was a very good thing. It's good that Buffon signalled what I'd done to the referee because it was not pretty. I don't know how I could have lived with it had France had become world champions and I stayed on the pitch.
Wow.
And given that, and I believe him because he'd already won the World Cup. So it's not like he's just saying that to try and save face. He's already won it. So I think he's so contrite in retrospect that he realises that it wouldn't have been right for him to stay on the pitch because he wants...
And score another Panenka in the shootout.
It sounds like a man who wants to pay for his crimes. But also, am I right in saying that he was essentially really supported by the French public after the act?
Yeah, he was,
And they saw it as this like great iconoclastic event and that they said they didn't expect... I don't think France expected to do that well, as you guys said earlier. And I think because he was such a legend...
They've gone out players before as well, haven't they?
Isn't it great how these great countries more recently get the luxury of not blaming their players? I mean, Badger wasn't blamed, Zidane's not blamed, because they do so well anyway. I don't care.
I don't know, but they did blame David Ginola, though, didn't they?
Maybe they learned from that. But there was I forget who it's from, but there was a quote that said, "It's good for us to realise that a hero is fallible."
Yeah,
such a French way of looking at it.
It is. Yeah, Argentinians wouldn't agree with that, though.
But I wanted to end by asking you guys a question, a similar question to what I asked you with, or the point I made in the Ronaldo episode of his seizure before the World Cup final. I said it's a testament to how good a career he had and how good a player he was that event has not defined him. Would you guys argue that this event, despite everything he achieved, this event maybe has defined Zidane?
No, I don't think it has defined him. I think that tournament defines him. You cannot separate the red cards from that player. It was a part of his game. It was within him on the football pitch to be sent off. 12 red cards. 12 in particular for essentially violent conduct for reacting. That's a part of who he was on the pitch. There's no two ways about it. Zidane's who he was on the pitch was that player in the quarterfinal who took on all the Brazilians and was magnificent. The player who scored the winning goal from the penalty spot against Portugal, the only piece of quality in that whole game. He was the difference.
The volley in the Champions League for him.
Well, the volley in the Champions League, but just restricting it to the 2006 World Cup, the Panenka penalty in the final, and then the sending off. That's exactly who he was as a player. Encapsulated. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
The last thing that man did on the football pitch as a professional football player was that headbutt.
Still banned. Still banned.
Yeah. If he becomes a manager, will he have a 3-match touchline ban?
Do you know what he should do? He should say, I'm player manager next season, do 2 of the games. Yeah. Okay, I'm not anymore. Still got the 1-match ban. Well, there we are. Enjoyable gentleman talking about Zinedine Zidane.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to our Football Ramble World Cup specials in association with History. These 5 World Cup specials are brought to you by History, who, in celebration of the the World Cup are broadcasting 24/7 football documentaries for 2 weeks, starting on Monday, 28th of May. You can watch history on Sky, Virgin, BT or TalkTalk.
And of course, if you are interested in shocking incidents in the World Cup, Seven Goals That Shocked the World is available on History to watch on Thursday, 31st of May from 9 p.m.
Go on, Zizzo.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.